the Vox Markets podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome back, everyone, to Vox Markets. My name is Paul, and I'm delighted again to be able to speak to Jamie Constable of Singer, one of the UK's finest, and after his holiday, one of the most tanned capital markets experts in the city. So welcome, Jamie.
Good to see you again, Paul. Good to see you. I did pay for that. I had a quarantine when I came back. But anyway, it's all been going off what I've been away a bit, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the big news over the last 24 hours has been the two inflation prints out in the States. And it's easy for the central bankers to say that these are isolated data points. But when you get a continuous line of them, as long as they're sort of around the block, then even old duffers like me can see the trends. But more importantly, what's your thoughts?
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head there, Paul. The longer it goes on, US at 5.4% yesterday, UK at 2.5%. The longer this goes on, the more it becomes entrenched in the economy and the more it becomes entrenched in consumer expectations. And then the chance of it going into wages, which is the key thing on inflation, and which obviously means it's much less transitory then, which is obviously the central banker's favourite word at the moment, the more risk of that happening. But against that, we've had bond yields falling, which is somewhat perplexing, I think.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think the Treasuries have come down to 1.4%. And I did see a print on the US PPI this afternoon of over 7%. And you just got to look around here with house prices still going up, sort of like, you know, like for like, a sort of like high single digits, you know, sort of like, or even 10% from last month, then that's going to get entrenched into rental, as like, you know, rental prices for people who obviously don't own their own property. And when you get that big slug, particularly in the large capitals, that's got to feed through to, you know, consumer requirements for a higher salary to cover their extra costs, which they've got no real control over.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, house prices look well entrenched, to be well underpinned, to be perfectly honest. I mean, if you go for a five-year mortgage now, you just look in the papers at the weekend. I mean, five-year HSBC, 1.09%.
Yeah,
I mean, you can't see house prices coming off when you're given. It's all about this free money, isn't it? Free money around the world. And I think that's the only way I can kind of rationalize what we're seeing in terms of bond yields falling, US equities going up every day, is that there's so much free money in the world that it has to find a way somewhere. So as long as the central bankers have their feet to the floor on the accelerator in terms of pumping the money in and fiscal money as well, of course, you look at the US, unemployment benefits, still a couple more months of that to be paid out to people. While that's still coming into the system, it has to find a way, it has to find a home somewhere.
I saw a great chart, actually, which just said that perfectly illustrated. It's in the US, when you look at the junk yield return, or when you remove CPI against it, typically over the last 20 years, it's been a roughly around about 5% sort of like premium, you know, for real yield. It's currently zero. And people basically are taking no real return for all that risk of default against junk bonds out in the States. It just says everything, that there's too much liquidity sort of like swirling around. And so, but going forward, how is that sort of like going to change the, or is it going to change the central bankers' outlook? What's your view on sort of timings of tapering and interest rates out in the States? Because I think I sort of, you know, they've got their Jackson Hole meeting coming up in August, and that will obviously be a big announcement in terms of resetting expectations.
Well, I think you've seen New Zealand overnight. They've virtually ended QE as from next week. Now, you might question, why am I saying New Zealand, this small economy in the Pacific? But actually, New Zealand has tended to lead the world historically. It's a very open economy.
It doesn't rugby.
And it wins the rugby. Yeah, it's a very open economy. And they overnight have basically said, the central bank there, that they're going to end QE. And their interest rate futures have an interest rate rise, predicting an interest rate rise for November. Canada are announcing over the next 24 hours. They could be next on the tapering. And basically, I think I've said this before, they should be tapering now, the central banks. I mean, they didn't raise interest rates when we post the 2009 financial crisis, and then they ended up with no firepower to cut rates going into the pandemic crisis. They need to start earlier. So they should be starting to taper. And I think that brings us to the UK equity market, which is quite interesting at the moment, because it seems stalled at the moment. And obviously, we've had these worries over growth prospects globally, particularly out of Asia, where the Delta variant is spreading again. And that seems to have worried the market in the last month. For me, that's just recovery postponed rather than anything else. And I think that should throw us up some opportunities.
Yeah. Are you seeing it sort of opportunities in the UK? I mean, we've obviously had that big slug of IPO money coming in, which is still there. Mm. Well, what's your sort of view on existing equities, the normal sort of like you're trading? Because there seems to be some quite good sort of opportunities and sectors, particularly if you've got that backdrop of if this is just a temporary phenomenon where there's a bit of sort of like, you know, concern over growth. But frankly, if people do get vaccinated like the UK, then it's a matter of when, not if.
Yeah, totally agree with that. I mean, it is when, not if, on the terms of the recovery. The vaccination programs are progressing. I mean, Europe's moving pretty quickly now. I think Europe's got to half the adults in Europe have had both their vaccinations. It's 2/3 in the UK now. Asia will catch up in due course. And then we're back on to, well, growth's there again. So
yeah.
I do think the opportunities are being thrown up. Back to your question about IPOs. Naturally, there's been a lot of IPO activity. It's kind of... It's the natural progression. There's been a lot of M&A companies being taken out, but there's IPOs to come through for companies to replace the ones being taken out. It does take a long time for the money to come in nowadays, though. It can take up to 9 months really for the deals to be completed with all the Monopolies Commission or whatever, and then looking at it. Now, I think that fund managers have very much been focused on a lot of IPO activity. There's been a lot of M&A and secondary issues as well. I think now through the summer, the IPO activity will slow down a lot. There's already signs that that's happening now. And on the back of that, thoughts will return to the existing market and existing equities. But fund managers will be trawling the market for where stocks have been left a bit unloved and neglected. And we've seen that, you know, with stocks falling back.
Yeah, one area that in that context, which looks pretty much sort of unfairly sold off of late, is the whole sort of like house building construction area. I mean, we saw the construction, the PMIs for UK construction coming out at record levels. I think they were sort of mid-60s only about a week ago. And likewise, house prices are still sort of like very, very strong. And yes, there might well be that risk of a slight sort of air pocket due to the house sort of like the stamp duty holiday ending in June or sort of tapering off. But frankly, what are your views going forward in that whole sort of exercise? Because it seems to be some good opportunities, particularly in the sort of picks and shovels guys.
Yeah, I think I still love the infrastructure story for the UK and globally. So, and I'd include house builders within that. If you look at the big boys like Barrett's have just reported, and their forward order books are very good.
Yes.
The one worry we had, of course, was cost price inflation with raw materials going up. And they're actually saying that house price inflation is covering their cost price inflation.
Yeah.
So that's fine. So margins can be maintained on that basis. So that's good.
I did see also, just on that, actually, Vistry previous week, you know, I think they've got cash. I think, was it Barrett said it was about 3-4% cost inflation?
Yeah.
But, I mean, Vistry is obviously incurring the same sort of thing and said actually its house price inflation was higher. So they were sort of like, you know, so I'm with you. The whole house building sector looks well underpinned in that respect.
Yeah, totally agree. So I think that's, and the balance sheets are very strong. And the one thing that punches the house building sector, if you look back historically over 30, 40 years, is that it's when they go for volume.
Mm.
And the key thing is these companies aren't back to 2019 volume levels yet.
Mm.
There is no sign of them going for volume building, whatever the government might want. So supply remains constrained. Mortgage rates at the moment are very, very competitive.
Yes.
So that's another plus for the sector. So you might say that the stamp duty holiday is coming off, but look at mortgage rates. They're very, very competitive now. They're in the ones, 1%. I mean, it depends what deposit you've got, but those rates are very competitive. So that's going to help keep the market underpinned. And the picks and shovels, yes, the company supplying those, they should be doing well. I mean, the big question we've got is RMI and that whole sector. But look at that. You've had some cracking statements. Grafton, Howden, SIG today, which is more infrastructure than RMI, to be honest. But Grafton and Howden are very much RMI.
Yeah.
They're going to start hitting those tough like-for-like comparisons as we go through the summer. But the money's still out there to be spent. We need to take care about the valuation some of these companies are on. But some of the share prices have come back quite a long way. And I think stocks like Grafton, I mean, Grafton is a case in point. They sold a big chunk of their business in the UK. And they came out with this
It's a building products distributor, I think, across Europe, isn't it?
And Europe, yeah. They sold a big chunk of their merchant business. And they came out and said, no need to change forecasts.
Yes.
So that tells you the scale of the upgrade. And they've now got a load of cash to go out and spend into it on M&A on their business. So I still think those picks and shovels really are there and ones to look at.
And two others on the sort of the specialist plantar equipment, Speedy Hire and VP, because I mean they haven't yet quite come back because of the, obviously they've got more exposure on the infrastructure side rather than the straight house building. But the likes of HS2 and all the big infrastructure products that Boris is performing, I mean, should absolutely sort of like, you know, give those guys a bit of a lift over the next 2, 3, 4 years. And you talked about sort of like good valuations. I mean, these guys are actually trading at sort of like, you know, 5x EBITDA, which historical terms is very cheap, on subdued earnings expectations. If you then extrapolate it further, there seems to be a very good opportunity there. And do you want to have a pop at those two guys?
Yeah, VP would be our favourite out of the two. VP has a phenomenal track record of growth, extremely good management. And yes, you're bang on. HS2 is, we've seen it in the materials. Look what they're saying about concrete. HS2 is taking all the concrete in the UK. But what's it doing to all the plant hire?
See, where's that on my going? Wife, because she's been building outside.
Wait till you get the bill from the builder from the value of the concrete.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, it's taken, that's going to take all the demand, all the supply out of the market. Supply and demand work. Pricing could go up. They're being quite cautious at the moment, the rental companies, about pricing and saying whether it's going to go up or not. But yes, infrastructure build is going to happen. And those companies are going to benefit from it. So those are very much companies I would alight on as well.
Yeah, you've definitely hit the nail on the head on that one, because with pricing, they've been sort of slightly constrained because they've got long-term agreements, haven't they, with a lot of their customers, which will roll off next year. And, and I'm with you. If I was going to choose, I think they're both good. They both work. But if I was going to choose one, you'd go for the long-term secular sort of like, you know, more specialist, which is the VP side of it. Yeah. But they're both worth about a £370 million market cap trading on similar sort of multiples. I mean, I ran the numbers just on VP, and their shares are currently trading at about, I don't know, 920, 930, etc. But if you just use a modest multiple in a couple of years, this one's going to be well above £11, £12, even could get to, you know, if you get good return on capital employed hitting it, they could easily be sort of like over 15 quid. So I'm with you, good solid sort of businesses, aren't they?
And I think that's what you want in this market. I mean, we've got to be, we have to be cognizant of the fact that, and the bull market's been going on for quite a long time now. And the key is you want to focus on secular growth and you want to focus on the quality management teams. We've seen some of the recovery or whatever you want to call it, reflation stocks go up, and then some of them have come back. Some of them might not bounce back up again, but the quality ones will bounce back up again, I think. And that's the key. Those are the ones to alight on. Those are the companies you want to look at. Now, look at some of the retailers and things like that. They've come, you know, they've come back a bit super dry, back below £4 again. Halfords has come off. We like that one as well. And they had a nice little announcement yesterday about a software as a service business they're getting into, which there's nothing in the share price for that. It's only early days, but they've already got a US customer for it. So companies like that, you know, it's the delight of the small cap world. There's plenty of companies there to look at, finding those nuggets and gems, and they will benefit.
Yeah, another one was just on that sort of the building theme, which is a sort of picks and shovels, is the premium specialist brick manufacturer, Mittal Michelmers, which I think the market cap ran about 130. It's quite good because, you know, the industry is obviously dominated by three big players, Ipstock, Forterra and Wienerberger from Austria. But these guys are actually, I know it's impossible to understand, but they actually do quality bricks, which is unusual when you compare it to a breeze block. But they're basically all clay type of, you know, aesthetically pleasing bricks. And what's really interesting about that particular company is that they're also benefiting not only by that huge sort of house building catch up that then the government needs to do, sort of 300,000 properties per year. But they're also benefiting from things like premiumization of your housing. You know, you know, you've talked about repair and maintenance, but adding new spaces, people wanting better looking houses and going built. And that's why you sort of like see the more higher margin, more attractive products being put in. And also they're getting a lift from things like recladding, having, you know, basically from Grenfell, and likes with HS2 as well for the stations. They want to look good, build to rent. And I think the whole sort of building cycle, it's going to be underpinned by a redevelopment of all the high streets. And the office space, and you've seen that already in the city, isn't it? So I agree with you. There's some real opportunities there. I mean, I think with that terms of valuation with Michaelmas, I could see that share double over the next 5 years, you know, and that still wouldn't be expensive. So, I'm with you. Plenty to chew on there. Any updates from last time? I know Avintraz came out with a good sort of trading update.
Yeah, they had a good update. It's continued just good performance, good delivery. It's contract wins. Yeah. The share price has had a good run, but I still think there's plenty more to go for there. So still, you know, big fan of that one as a core portfolio holding that one. So still like that one a lot.
Yeah, I did see one of your analysts put a sort of like a sum of the parts on it, sort of like just for the core businesses, which was owing about 20-30% up, etc. And I actually, and that was, I think that's excluding the Magnetica small four MRI stuff that you talked about. It was interesting, just as a sort of like when we last spoke, I touched base with Christopher Mills, who's the biggest shareholder. He quite likes that. He's a life science expert and knows. If there's anybody in the UK fund management industry that you're going to defer your judgment to in healthcare and all things medicine, it's Christopher Mills of Harvard. He reckons that business could be worth £5 or over £5 on its own. The shares are only £4.20. Existing sum of the parts is more than £4.20, you're getting that all for free, plus the cash mountain as well. So it's definitely something that people should have a look to. I mean, the shares have done well, but
more to go for.
Another one you talked about, I think, was Gresham Technologies.
It's continued delivery, global leader in what they do, reconciliation into the big banks, the global banks. This isn't just little local banks. This is a global banks, and they're delivering on what they said they're going to do. It's coming back to what we just said, I think. Look for the winners. Look for the secular growth areas of the economy, the managements that have delivered historically. Mm. I mean, just one word that we do need to mention when we talk about what we're seeing with PPI, as you said, CPI, pricing power. You need to be in companies that have pricing power. You need to remember that when you're investing at the moment. Always think about pricing power, because if they haven't got it, margins get squeezed. And the market's getting, I think the market is getting more, it's discriminating more between bad and good, if you get what I mean. Whereas for a period, it's been, everything's been rising almost, hasn't it? But I think we're getting to the stage now where there's going to be a lot more kind of differential in performance between what's good and what's bad. So the key is to make sure you do identify and do your research to find that, to make sure you're in those good ones and the ones they historically have delivered.
Yeah, I must admit, from that Gresham Technologies, they knocked the ball out of the park, didn't they, on like-for-like revenues? It was up sort of 14%, and the shares are still trading on a modest, if you look forward to 2022, so around about 3x sales for a high recurring revenue, high-quality stock that's got pricing power with fantastic customer base and growing with cross-sale synergies in the States. I mean, again, you could see that one, you know, not only increasing the multiple over the next 3-4 years, but also increasing the sales by double digits. Yeah. That could double easily in the next 5 years.
Plenty to go for. You've got a big market that they're playing in. They're proving they're successful. They've proved they're successful globally. It's what you want from a small cap stock, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And then the next month, then, anything of major points? I mean, we've got the Jackson
Hole. Well, we've got the summer. It's a summer now, so it does get a bit quieter. I would hope that what we're going to see now, we're going to get the attention turned back to the existing market, as it were, away from all the IPO activity. We'll start to get a bit more return to kind of people having the cash to invest in existing. Because when there's all these IPOs coming, it uses up people's cash. So they don't have the money to buy these stocks when they fall back. Yeah. obviously people are going to be very focused on inflation. We're not going to get the answer for that in the short term. I mean, even Powell's saying now in the US, the Fed, he's saying that it's going to remain elevated for a period before it falls back. So we're still going to get this kind of push and shove on, is it transitory, isn't it transitory? And I think that potentially is key for the market. The one thing that we do need to keep an eye on, of course, is COVID and the Delta variant, and if there was another variant. If that were to get into the US in any size, then that could worry the markets. But I think, to be fair, the vaccines are rolling out. The vaccines work. It's all about just keep rolling them out. The growth worry, well, we haven't mentioned China cut rates by 50 basis points as well. Yeah. Now, that worried people, but then they came out with their export data, trade data earlier in the week, and it was better than expected. Mm. Caveat that, we've got the Chinese GDP number tonight. So let's see how that comes out. And assuming that would be a good number, then we could see those miners running again, and they've come off a bit as well. So the miners, yeah, if we are, there's areas in the market we should be looking at and to invest in. And I think there's opportunities being thrown up by what we've seen over the past month.
Well, I do now understand why you went to your holiday early, because you can come back and sort of pick up these nice choice stocks, you know, for yours and your clients' funds. So I think we'll cut it there then. Thanks very much for your time again,
Jamie. That's great.
Tremendous insights. And if anybody, investor, wants to actually sort of follow those stocks, then just hit the button on the relevant website and you'll get all the information coming direct into your inbox. So look forward to touching base again in a month's time. Cheers, Jamie.
Okay, Paul. Brilliant. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. Bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.